KSCU Santa Clara presents. Two nerds answering the call to become KSCU DJs. Join them now on this incredible journey.
It's a trap!
Robot at night.
Great Scott!
New powers rising!
I got a bad feeling about this.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
There is no escape.
You will be assimilated.
What we do, it is useless to resist.
Resistance is futile.
You will be deleted.
Exterminate!
Prepare for battle!
Exterminate!
It's a manhouse! A
manhouse!
We're
doomed.
Time to time. We aim to please mostly.
Yeah. We're gonna be experimenting, trying things out, doing some stuff. Hopefully
you like it.
Yeah.
Hopefully you stick around and go on this adventure with us.
Yes, it'll be fun.
As I said, my name is Joe. My partner Caleb.
Yes.
We've known each other for quite some time.
Since a while. So it's fifth grade.
Fifth grade. I mean, to put that in perspective, we are in our 30s now. So obviously, people are like, "Well, maybe you're only 19." So that's still a long time, but
it's been a little while.
Now that we've given people, better perspective.
Better perspective, yes, definitely.
So, we've known each other since the fifth grade, hanging out, doing all the geeky stuff, playing the games. Mm-hmm. We dabbled in the D&D. Oh, I said it! I admitted it.
Oh my goodness, we're gonna burn!
And then
there was the Warhammer 40,000.
We did that.
And Nick annihilated us for years and years and years.
Yeah, another buddy of ours. He usually played the Tyranids and pretty much was like, "Oh, I'll play you," and you're dead.
Yeah.
he's good. We went separate ways. During
college,
high school and college, mm-hmm. but we still kept in touch, like the same group still kept in touch.
Yeah.
And we've just been hanging out ever since. The lights just flickered. So we're like, oh crap.
Oh no.
There's the power. No. Is someone trying to tell us that they don't like our show already? We just started. Give us a chance.
we're working it out. Come on. Give us a moment. Give us some time.
Give us a chance, people. So we're
kicking it here at KSCU.
I heard actually one of the PSAs that said, "Oh, come on down. You think you can be a GJ?" And I was like, "A DJ, not a GJ." With the words, I gotta use words. Okay. So yes, I heard the PSA about, "Hey, come on down, be a DJ." I thought, you know what? That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
I want to try something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So answered the call. And
here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Got my buddy Caleb interested in it. And now we have our own show.
A show of our very own. Gosh darn it. It's great.
It's amazing. And hopefully you think it's amazing. But let's break the show down a little bit of what we're going to do.
What we're about. Sort of a...
Like we said, we're going to do talk, so we're going to do kind of things like talk about the news, but hopefully, it's kind of some quirky, interesting things.
Not the news, although there'll be a little bit of that.
Yeah, you got to have some of that, but you can kind of get that anywhere, so.
Yeah, we're gonna keep it a little bit more interesting. Gonna have a little more focus on some of the geekier side of things.
Yes, because... I'm not sure if we mentioned we are two nerds/geeks, so
yeah,
it's gonna bleed through.
You're gonna notice. You're gonna notice. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. Then you know we'll, like I said, we'll talk about movies, video games, comics.
Yeah, it's, and then just sort of, kind of life in general and.
Yeah, just random.
Whatever's on our minds.
Yeah. So yeah, hopefully you stick around for that. I think why not, since you know we've talked for a little bit, want to kind of give them a little break to kind of digest everything that we've just spewed onto our audience. Hopefully you've stuck around. Thank you if you have.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah. Let's give them some music.
Some music to relax and soak it in.
So what's the first track that we're going to play?
First track is from Primus called Hoin Fodum Man. It's got a lot of consonants. I'm not positive how to say this word. I apologize to Primus for butchering the name.
That's quite a mouthful there.
It is. I don't think it's English.
Yeah, probably not, but here it is anyway. Enjoy.
The San Jose Museum of Art presents Bookish, an exhibition that looks at the influence of the book on visual arts. The museum is located at 110 South Market Street. More information is available at sanjosemuseumofart.org. The exhibit will run through January 15th of 2012. Go check it out. Local stuff. It's cool. Dun, 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 dun.
The news. That's right. It's time for the news, Caleb.
The news
on Robots Attack. Okay, let's see what we've got in the news files here. Well, Caleb.
Yes? Yes, Joe?
Man accused of breaking and entering for beer.
For beer?
Yes, for beer.
For beer or for worse?
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
All right. I got this from MSN. This is an article by Jennifer Schwartz. There's no T in there, so I don't think it's Schwartz. So Schwartz. Hmm. I don't know.
Could be.
I should make this disclaimer. If I mispronounce any of the names, I'm doing it to protect
the guilty. Yeah. No, the innocent. I got that backwards.
Yeah, to protect the peoples and
the stuff.
Yeah.
And the stuff from Laban.
So, a Chicago man was charged over the weekend for assaulting one man and stabbing another after breaking into two apartments in search of beer.
Now that's desperation.
Yeah, that's some crazy Miller time.
Yeah,
whatever beer this guy's into.
He didn't find it. It doesn't sound like.
Yeah. Hotel event coordinator Tim Schneider, 36, broke into an apartment building around 4 a.m. Saturday, according to the Sun-Times. Schneider allegedly entered one apartment and headed straight for the fridge. When he didn't find any beer, he allegedly punched a man and left, breaking into another unit. Into the second apartment, prosecutors said he struggled with another man who he allegedly stabbed in the back with a screwdriver. Wow. That guy really wants some beer.
Seriously, I would not. I would say, look, here's $10. We'll get yourself some beer. Just go.
Please. Residents of the building then subdued Schneider until police arrived. The victim was taken to an area hospital where he received 22 stitches.
Ouch.
Now, while in police custody, Schneider allegedly threatened and spit at the officers. Again, super classy guy right here.
Yeah, very.
He now faces two charges of home invasion, aggravated battery, and aggravated battery of a police officer. He has previous convictions for domestic battery and aggravated battery, police said. So again, this is a real winner
This guy's got firing on all cylinders, that's for sure.
He definitely has the aggravated battery achievement unlocked.
Yeah.
Ba-do-tsh.
Seriously. But hey, you know what goes great with beer?
You're not done yet. This guy gets even classier.
Even better?
After his arrest, Schneider told the police officer, "I'm going to kill your ass. You can't lock me up forever." I don't know if he actually sounds like that. I just kind of threw it in there. Just for fun. according to the police report.
Dramatic reenactment.
Exactly. He then said, "Want some AIDS?" and spat at the police officer, the report said, according to the newspaper. So, yeah, moral
Class
of the story,
act.
You know, have some beer on hand just in case some crazy dude breaks into your home and, you know.
Wants to throw back a cold one.
Yeah, so
Man.
You don't get stabbed by a corkscrew.
Yeah, wow. So if that didn't make you hungry for something, I got a little something for you. Because beer and pizza, they go together like wine and cheese.
Yes, yes. I would agree. I do like.
But one thing that does not go together well is fire and the police. Because apparently two managers of a Domino Pizza in Lake City, North Central Florida, have been charged with burning down their rival Papa John's location. Their motive? The police say one of them, the men admitted to believing that his competitor, with the competitor out of the way, more pizza lovers would flock to their location.
Man, that's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. If only, yeah, no, it doesn't work.
Kill
that
the
way.
Competition, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, no.
No, that's not good, right?
Kill the competition, but not like that.
Yeah, not literally kill them.
Yes, yes. The Papa John's was gutted on October 20th by a fire. And the two gentlemen are being charged with arson. So, yeah. This is... two class acts back to back.
Another class act. A couple of guys with it. Maybe that other guy and the beer guy should get together and open up their own corkscrew pizza beer
something,
crazy
yeah.
joint. Something. Do you want some more crazy? Because I got some more crazy.
You
for
got
you
more
crazy.
I'll take it. I'll take what you All got.
Right. Police seek pink bikini burglar. Now
the guy is stealing bikinis.
No, when you're thinking, okay, policing pink bikini burglar, you know, my mind immediately went to like, all right, maybe there's an attractive lady in a pink bikini, you know, running around as a cat burglar, you know, like Catwoman or something. And, you know, it's like, hey, that's not too bad, but.
Yeah, I was thinking it was like some person going around stealing pink bikinis.
Okay, so that's where your mind went.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, well. You,
it's neither of those?
No, you're closer.
Oh, it's closer. So, okay.
Yeah. Now, Caleb, do you know anyone in the Indianapolis area?
I do.
Do you know if they like to wear girls' swimsuits?
Pretty sure they don't.
Okay. Well, if so, maybe you can help police find a man who broke into a daycare center last week. Uh-huh. Indianapolis Metropolitan Police on Friday released surveillance video from after 10 p.m. October 20th, showing a man inside the Kidscape Learning Center in Southwest Indianapolis.
Really?
Yeah. The video shows the man, described as white or Hispanic, and 5'5" to 5'7" with a long black ponytail. So I'm thinking sort of like I think Steven Seagal is actually tall.
Yeah, he's actually, he's tall.
But, you know, the ponytail and that sort of thing. Okay, now.
That's a disturbing image in my mind. Yeah. Steven Seagal in a pink bikini. Duh, I need brain bleach now, quick. Some things cannot be unseen.
You love it.
Oh.
He's trying on girls' bathing suits, police said in a release. Apparently finding a pink two-piece to his liking. He keeps it on as he explores the daycare center. Yeah, they actually have like video footage of this guy climbing over the thing going. After about 10 minutes, the man in the video jumps over a counter, setting off a motion detector alarm, police said. He then leaps back over the counter, changes back into his original clothes, and leaves the business.
He took the time to change clothes?
Yeah. Employees were not sure whether anything was taken. So
I would still burn whatever it was that he was wearing.
Yeah, get some kind of like holy healer to come in and burn some sage or do some kind of humbo jumbo on the place to try to clear it up. Now, detectives ask anyone who can identify the suspect to call Crime Stoppers at 317-26-TIPS or IMPD Southwest District Detectives at a number. I mean, you know, we're not in Indianapolis, so.
I doubt our reach goes quite that far. Although the internet goes everywhere.
That's true. The internet is worldwide.
It is a worldwide web, if you will. So in terms with people like sneaking around and doing like shady things.
Yes.
Here's one that will that make that guy look kind of interesting as well.
Ooh.
In Colorado Springs, a man whose girlfriend unexpectedly came home just before another woman was due to show up. So what's this guy do? He has his girlfriend, and there's a lady who's gonna come into the house later. What does he do?
I know what he's gonna do. What he's gonna do.
Huh?
He's gonna turn down the lights, put on the Barry White, get all ready, get the lotion, get the Courvoisier.
Oh, if only that were the case. This guy pulls a real brain stopper of emotion. He calls the cops on the other chick.
Seriously?
He calls the cops saying, "She's a thief. She's going to come rob us." Yeah. So this guy met the woman online, and he told her to come to his house at 3 a.m. on Wednesday so they could become better acquainted. But his girlfriend got home first. You know what we call this? Busted.
Wah, wah.
Serious. Oh, that's a very special level of what the heck were you thinking?
Yeah, man, we got some real winners here tonight.
We're batting 1,000.
I know, it's pretty crazy, and I got another crazy story here.
This ought to be good.
It's a bit long, but it's
what you got?
It's are you a fan of sandwiches?
Sandwiches are good.
You may want to think about it after I tell you this little story here, okay?
But sandwiches, they're so delicious.
I know, but if you ever find yourself being a pregnant woman, you might want to think twice.
If I ever find myself to be a pregnant woman, I'm going to be very, very concerned about myself. Well, I'm having a very strange dream where I'm in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I'm not sure which is worse.
Junior 2. I'm back. Come on, Danny. Let's do the movie. Come on, Junior 2. Awesome. We both get pregnant. Danny DeVito never got pregnant in that one, right?
It was just Arnold, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so the sequel. Come on, Danny. You get pregnant, too.
Oh, man.
Come on, do Rock'em Sock'em pregnancy.
I don't want to think about that anymore. Well, get on with your story about pregnant women and their sandwiches.
I don't know. I'm kind of having fun now thinking about Junior 2.
No. Junior 2 is dead to me.
Oh, all right. All right. Fine. I'll read this story. Sorry, listeners who wanted to hear more about Junior 2.
Brain bleach.
All right. In Honolulu. Woo. So we went from Chicago, Indianapolis.
Where Florida. Was
your Florida.
Colorado.
Colorado. No. All right. Honolulu. Okay. Nicole Lesnitsky. Sorry, Nicole. Couldn't imagine that two chicken salad sandwiches would land her and her husband in jail and her 2-year-old daughter in state custody.
What?
But it happened 5 days ago when the 30 weeks pregnant woman forgot to pay for her snack while shopping.
Whoops.
Lesnitsky, 28, and her husband, Marcin, 33, were handcuffed, searched, then released on $50 bail each. Their ordeal at the...
They were handcuffed over a sandwich?
Yeah. Well, you didn't pay for that sandwich. You're going to jail. You're getting the ball of the treatment for that sandwich. Hey, maybe in sandwiches in Honolulu, they're like...
Maybe they're rare. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like...
But when I was there, there was like, they weren't that rare.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll explain further.
Yeah,
story,
continue on. Maybe it makes more sense.
Let's see.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Their ordeal at the police station lasted a few hours, but their daughter, Zofia, spent the night away from her parents in a case that has sparked nationwide outrage and forced the Safeway supermarket chain to review the incident.
Ooh.
It was the most ridiculous... Oh, maybe I should use a female voice when I said it. Oh, maybe she sounds like that. You know, sometimes when people are pregnant, like, the hormones and things change.
Yeah.
She could...
I don't think she sounds like a man after that, though.
You're probably right. Oh, man. So, all right, I'll try. I apologize to the ladies out there. It was the most ridiculous chain of events that happened, she said while sobbing Monday. It's still hard to believe what happened. The family had moved to an apartment near downtown Honolulu from California 2 weeks ago. Still settling in, they ventured out Wednesday to stock up on groceries. Took the bus, got lost, and ended up at a Safeway supermarket. Famished, the former Air Force staff sergeant picked up the two sandwiches that together cost $5. She openly munched on one while they shopped, saving the wrapper to be scanned at the register later. So, you know, like those people open up bags of chips and they'll eat some and then they just take care of the bag. And but they forgot to pay for the sandwiches as they checked out with about $50 worth of groceries.
Oops.
When the security guard questioned us, I was really embarrassed.
I can't take it.
All right, fine. I was really embarrassed. I was horrified, she said. They were led upstairs where the couple expected to get a lecture, pay for the sandwiches, and be allowed on their way. But store managers wouldn't allow them to pay for the sandwiches, she said. I asked to talk to a manager, and he said it was against their policy to pay for the items that left the store, she said. The security guard said we were being charged with shoplifting.
Wow.
4 hours later, a police officer arrived and read them their rights.
Wow. That's...
Wow.
Wow.
Man. A woman from the state child welfare services arrived to take Sophia away. Sophia. The pregnant mother said she tried to keep her composure until Sophia, who turns 3 in December, left the store. I didn't want Sophia to be scared because she's never spent a night away from us. She didn't have her stuffed animal. She didn't have her toothbrush. But as soon as her daughter left, I got completely hysterical. I went to the bathroom and I threw up.
Yeah, wow. That's a stressful situation.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I mean, it goes on. I mean, it's like... The national supermarket chain said it was looking into the incident. It was never our intent to separate a mother from her child. That was a very unfortunate consequence of this situation, said Susan Houghton, a spokeswoman for the California-based supermarket chain. We understand the outrage. We are concerned about how this was handled. And to, you know, kind of wrap it up.
Yeah. What's the conclusion?
There's an actual update to the story. The Safeway supermarket chain is declining to press charges against the Honolulu couple.
Oh, good.
Safeway.
Someone put their head back on their shoulders and tightened it down real good.
They did what? You did what? Sue for what?
Sufua,
Rocky Five, yeah. So yeah, you know, sandwiches, beer, pizza.
Apparently, food items make people go crazy.
Yeah, just a wee bit.
Just a little bit. Well, we're gonna take a slight pause in this to tell you about how you can listen to KSCU on your smartphone.
Ooh.
That's right. If your phone is smarter than a fifth grader, you can listen to our station through the Shoutcast app, like TuneWiki, Shoutcast Radio, or Winamp. Just search the internet for our stream or look for it on KSCU.org.
Alrighty, I think wanna play a tune for the people.
Yes,
after all that, and then
let's move on to our next track. Looks like it's the Decemberists. Shankill Butchers. Yeah, it's an interesting name. It's track 3.
All right, cool.
The Shankill Butcher's right tonight. You better shut your
window. And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Thank you for that lovely intro. Yeah, this is Caleb's Corner. It's my little personal section of the show where I talk about things that are sort of specifically interesting to me and may not be interesting to anybody else, but hey, I think they're pretty cool. So.
Oh, look at your corner. It's so cute. Look at your corner.
Anyways, let's start. let's get down to business.
Yes, let us. Yes.
So I'm guessing that some of you out there probably have at least partly heard of the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. This has been the oft abused and overused and destructively annoying law that has turned the internet into a very strange little state where people like the RIAA and the MPAA can just sort of do whatever the heck they think is right, and down to the consumer to try and just, I just want to watch my DVD on my computer. Is that so hard?
Yes.
Quiet, you, Mr. MPAA man.
No, I am law.
No, you are very bad law. Bad, bad law. Go back in the doghouse. No, but, and like the DMCA is bad. They keep trying to make it worse. They come up with something even worse than the DMCA. The current
like a bad Thomas the Train Engine. Like it's trying, it keeps trying, it keeps trying. No, just stop, dude. Just please stop.
Kinda, yeah. Kinda. It's one of those situations where it's like this character's really bad. We don't like him. He's doing bad things. Oh, his little brother is even worse. Yeah, yeah. The somewhat little brother of the DMCA is the Protect IP Act. Now that sounds great. Protect IP. Let's protect intellectual property. You know, make sure that no one walks off with it or makes unlimited copies of an infinitely copyable thing. That's a different issue. But this wonderful new bit of legislature is going to make it so that copyright owners are now putting ISPs in the role of being sort of the police of the internet. And all they really have to do to get their quote unquote their content just axed, like take a whole server offline, is go to a judge with the proper forms and the judge will look them over. Everything's in order. He'll pass it along to the ISP. The ISP has to then follow the edict of the law and shut down the server, even if the most obvious example is something like YouTube, where it's like, yes, you can't control the fact that people are going to put up videos that they don't own. And when under DMCA, what you're gonna do is you're gonna have the rights owners. They say, "Oh, that's ours. Please take it down." And then they do it. But with this, they could potentially take YouTube off of the internet.
No.
Yes. And
get to the chopper, YouTube. Get to the chopper.
Well, thankfully, YouTube is backed by Google, who with Yahoo and several other members of the group called the Net Coalition are fighting back against this, and it's going to be pretty bad because the Protect IP Act actually did get tossed down. The new one is called the E-Parasite. Oh, E is an electronic parasite. Ooh. They're gonna just suck you dry of all your IP.
No.
Yeah, no, it's all bad. There's a really good article about this over on Ars Technica. So, you know, cool. We don't need more bad laws. We just need to enforce the ones that we already have.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. Let's make the ones that we have actually work and enforce them and use those, not just throw more layers of paint on on everything.
And a happier note.
Ooh, yes, yes. Take us to a happy place,
Caleb. Happy place.
A happy place.
Do you like photographs?
Yes.
Do you like photographs that are in focus and are properly exposed?
Sure, why not?
Do you like it when you're trying to take a picture of something and your camera autofocuses on the wrong item and your picture is blurry?
Oh, I hate that.
So, you know, you have the attractive girl in front of the sunset. You take the picture, all you get is the sunset, no girl, just a big blur. There is a solution to this problem.
Oh, I hope so, because, man, you just crushed my dreams there.
Well, if you've ever had a situation where you've tried to take a picture of something and your focus is all wrong and you can't quite figure out what it is that's doing it, there is a company called Lytro, LYTRO, and they have invented a camera which uses a a method of collecting image data called light field photography, where it captures essentially 3D data about the scene that you are taking a picture of, and it takes a whole bunch of information all at the same time, puts it into one picture. So you could potentially, so you can post-process this image and select, after you've taken the picture and taken it home, where you want the focus to be. And you can even do that with, do it live over the internet. Like, you just put the picture up there and people can like play, mess around with your pictures and stuff.
Fascinating.
Yes. It's actually really cool. There's their website has a lot of good information about it. And before, when it was just theory and scientific, now it's actually real. They have made consumer products. They the high-end camera is $499. It's a 6 gigabyte camera, and it will hold about 750 pictures. And then they have a slightly smaller, lower priced one at $399, and it holds 350 pictures. But what's really cool about this camera is that it's like almost brain dead simple to use. You point it at what you want to take a picture of, and you press the shutter button, and that's all there is to it. And then you don't worry about anything other than just framing the shot the way you like. And then when you go home, you can mess with it and make it look the way you want to.
Do you think this will, like the kind of auto-tuned argument of, well, now I don't really need any technical skills. I can just push a button and it'll do everything for me. Do you think that'll happen? Or
there will be a certain amount of that where people just stop caring. But in the age of the camera phone, where you're trying to capture something like a moment that will pass very quickly, it'll make that so much easier because you don't have to worry about, oh, is it in focus? Do I have it completely framed right? You know, just lift your camera, click. This technology is not yet in camera phones, but it can be applied to that technology as well. So we're in the first phase of making this really consumer friendly. So it's like,
yeah, that'll be interesting when it's all available on everyone's cell phone and stuff, and they can just snap away, which everyone pretty much does now.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's that. And that will round out my corner segment for today, for this week.
Well, thank you, Caleb. That was very fascinating, interesting, and lovely.
I'm glad you liked it.
It was just wonderful. Now, I'm going to ask you something.
Yes.
Are you concerned about health fraud?
Who isn't?
Yeah, because you should be. The Food and Drug Administration advises you to be aware of health fraud. Be suspicious of products that claim to cure many diseases or that promise quick fixes. Remember that success stories are easy to make up. More information is available at www.fda.gov/healthfraud.
Ah, so that milkshake which makes me 20 pounds lighter in 3 days or less is a joke? Man, that's so disappointing. I was really hoping.
No, it's real. It's real.
It's real.
You should buy it.
Oh, but you just said that. Oh, you're messing with my head, man. Don't do that to me.
Am I?
Don't. I see that.
There's no smiling here.
No.
All right. I think it's time now for the core.
Time to descend into the core.
Going in.
Whoever goes into the core is not coming back. Core, the core, the core to the core.
Movies.
Sequels suck.
By definition alone, they're inferior films.
It's bull generalization. Many sequels have surpassed their original.
Oh yeah? Name one.
Yeah.
Comics.
As you know, I'm quite keen on comic books. Especially the ones about superheroes.
Video games.
What is that?
The Power Glove.
I love the Power Glove. It's so bad.
Music. Top 5 musical crimes perpetrated by Stevie Wonder in the 80s and 90s go.
Sub question, is it in fact unfair to criticize a formerly great artist for his latter-day sins? Is it better to burn out than to fade away?
Tech stuff.
This is the isopalatial interface which controls the main pyramidal drive unit. Don't touch that. You blow up the entire pyramidal drive.
What is a pyramidal drive?
Yeah, get those nerds.
Yeah, what are they doing in that radio station?
Yeah, wait, no, that's us. No, don't get us. Leave us.
Get someone else. Go get someone else. Go get some pizza and some beer, but pay for it and don't beat people up for it.
Yeah, don't stab with corkscrews and screwdrivers and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just a bad idea.
So, yes, you've stepped into the core. So, Caleb.
Yes, Joe.
Have you seen any movies?
Actually, I did see a movie just the other day. I went to go see a Paranormal Activity 3.
Was it good?
It wasn't bad.
Oh, okay. I sense. Now, I've seen 1 and 2. Uh-huh. I assume.
Yes, I've seen 1 and 2 also.
I have not seen the third one yet. Now, so the first one, you know, the couple, mm-hmm. and then the second one is sort of like a prequel in the beginning, and then it jumps into like...
Yeah, it catches up to the first movie, right.
So what does the third one do?
The third one is about the childhood of the two sisters from the first two movies.
Ah, okay, I thought so. When I was watching 2, and I was thinking like, okay, what's the third one about? And then they kind of hint at like... it happening to them when they were kids.
Uh-huh.
So
that it's about that. Unfortunately, I feel like it was the one that delivered least on the promise of the story. Like the first two, like the story itself wasn't necessarily their strong suit, but they had enough of it that it really kept you like invested in the movie. And when like the scary thing started to go crazy go nuts, like you were like, oh my gosh, crazy go nuts stuff was going on.
Yeah.
And they're just, it's like the third one had the most story, but I think in some ways that
kind of killed it.
Now,
not knowing a lot about it, but is mm-hmm. it like the way they shot it, is it like security cameras again or another person holding
there's handheld camera. There is a couple of tripod mounting cameras, and there's one moving camera, and the guy built it out of a fan.
Okay.
So like, because the movie takes place like in the 80s, early 80s, late 70s. So it's like a different era of technology available to them to make it.
Was the quality of like the film, did it kind of match like those era style, like
the quality film, not so much, but the costuming and the house, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, like when you watch it, you feel like you're watching, like seeing someone from the 80s, like talking, hanging out. It was pretty good. Like wow, where did they find all of this wonderful retro stuff? But I really enjoyed the first two movies.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I was looking forward to the third one because I was. Because, like, they left enough unspoken in the second movie that I'm like, oh, they could really, like, do something really kind of interesting in the next one. And they just did not deliver. Like, they explain a couple of things, but it just, none of it was very scary. Mm. And I just kind of lost interest after a while.
Would you have preferred if they didn't do, like, all of it in, like, back in the kids or
no, actually I think that could have been a really good story. It could have been like really scary and interesting. I didn't feel like they captured the essence of the fright factor of the other two movies.
Okay.
Because it was just like meh. Like in the first two movies is like the part of it is what makes it work is that they spend a lot of time like everyone kind of like getting into the situation, like just getting deeper and deeper into this place where there is an entity that they can't control that is making their lives bad. And when that really, and everyone kind of coming to grips with that and dealing with it. And the third one, it's like by the time you get to that point, you're near the end of the film and then they just kind of jump away from that almost. And oh, just okay. Like, I'm like, what? I was kind of getting into it, and then it just sort of.
Okay, time to go,
guys. Oh, it's credits. Wow, that was kind of spooky. I mean, I was just disappointing. Yeah. I think is the best way to describe it.
Okay, that's too bad. Yeah, I know. When watching the second one, like the first one, since it was, you know, like the way they shot it,
mm-hmm.
it kind of fit, like, you know, it seemed pretty logical, the guy carrying around the camera.
Right,
and that sort
right,
of thing.
Right.
In the second one, the handheld camera stuff at times seemed a little bit forced to me. Like it was kind of like, okay.
Why is he carrying the camera with him?
Yeah, why does she have the camera for this? It's like, you know, like certain shots, okay, yeah, but then there are others, it was just kind of like, really, you would think to grab, you know, or you have it, you know? But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's nothing crazy, but that was something I noticed compared to the first one where it seemed like they did a better job with that.
Yeah, the third one, certain times it makes even less sense and certain times it makes more. Actually, the use of the camera overall wasn't too bad.
Okay.
It just, at times, you're just kind of like, why, this isn't, wow, okay, I'm not into this scene anymore. This is just not delivering. Like, oh, it's kind of creepy. Yeah, that's over. All right. come on. it just never quite seemed to reach the sort of tension levels that the first two were able to elicit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. excuse me. The one thing I found, at least from when watching the second one, like when they would, you know, do the security camera shots, they're all wide shots. So I found myself getting like a little bit of a headache, like trying, because a lot of times in that movie, those movies, you were watching a scene and it's like your eyes need to dart everywhere because they just move something slightly and that's what you're supposed to notice. And so I spent a lot of time like my eyes darting back for like, okay, what am I supposed to be looking at? What am I supposed to be noticing?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to say? Oh, that moved. Okay, that's what I was supposed to notice. Oh.
Yeah, see, but they use that idea very well, which creates a tension within you trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
And then that tension turns into like tension in the anticipation of the film. And, you know, I thought those two movies, they worked that tension really well, like waiting for something to happen, looking for it to happen, and then boom, something happens and you're like, and then you get that little endorphin rush and then you look for it again. And the third one, it felt like they kind of like just fed things a little more directly.
Mm.
And there was some cool things they did with it, but it just overall, it was never quite as interesting.
That's too bad. Yeah, I definitely enjoyed them over like the Blair Witch ones. I mean, you know, because you kind of lump them in the same sort of thing. You know,
yeah.
Like found footage that, you know, is supposed to be real and
shot
really low budget and they both made like millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, Paranormal Activity 3 opened at $85 million.
Jeez. Well, you know, speaking of three. Let's jump to another three.
Oh, which three?
Battlefield 3.
Ooh.
Yes,
Battlefield 3. Much different sort of three, but...
yeah, not so much emphasis on the scary handheld camera stuff and more on the, there's somebody over there, I'm going to shoot him with my gun or my tank or my jet, helicopter, boat, whatever.
And I'm looking forward to get my hands on the vehicles. That's the one thing I didn't get to try when I played the beta.
Yeah, the it's I ended up, you know, picking up the game.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty cool. It's definitely like I think they marketed that game really weirdly. They're trying to take on Call of Duty 3, right? Which is coming out next week.
Modern Warfare 3, right?
Well, yeah, sorry.
Call of Duty 3 was a few years ago.
Yeah, that was quite a while ago. That's not coming out next week. Yeah, Modern Warfare 3 coming out next week. Yeah, they're trying to, you know, say, oh, you don't need to play that game, play this one. And they're such drastically different games. It's like the single player campaign for Battlefield 3, which if you play Battlefield, apart from like the Bad Company games,
right?
Battlefield is quintessential, you know, multiplayer. Like, that's what people think of when they play Battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
So their single player, they decided to make a Call of Duty-ish type of single player. So it's very different than the online. So if you're thinking about jumping into the single player to get kind of practice for the multiplayer, that would be
bad idea.
You're out of luck. Yeah.
Oh.
It's not bad or anything. It's just like, I've seen this before in Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 1 and 2, probably 3, you know. So,
right.
But multiplayer online, solid. It's definitely, if you got a PC that can run it, it's for PCs.
And yeah.
The console versions, they're good, but they're, again, very misleading when they were marketing this game. They were showing off all the PC stuff, getting everybody like, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. And then the PS3 and the Xbox 360 versions come out. And while they're still nice
really,
to look
really
at
good,
and
yeah.
still fun to play, it's just like, this is a bit misleading. Like, you know, so, but definitely worth picking up if you like, if you've played any kind of Battlefield game and you like the online,
yes,
you're going to enjoy it. I mean, it has all the staples of Battlefield.
Nice. You
know, the vehicles and stuff. The only thing I wish that DICE would do is create like a little lobby or something that you can go into and practice with the vehicles and the jets, because they don't show you how to do anything.
Like, yeah.
You get into a vehicle, you get into something, and for like 5 seconds, it flashes the, you know,
the control scheme.
The control scheme. And then that's it. And then you're out of luck. So you're like, well, I'd like to try out this jet, but then, you know, I don't want to screw over my team or somebody who actually knows how to fly this thing. And it's just like for the longest time, I didn't even know how to target people. And it's on the Xbox 360 controller. It's the back button. And that's sort of to spot people.
Oh, yeah,
like, That's so helpful. But there's nowhere where it tells you anything, or, you know, the different firing modes and all this stuff. I mean, it could go on and on, but
yeah, it definitely has its PC heritage is very obvious in the Battlefield games, and having played Battlefield on the PC, it definitely it's a superior experience on the PC. And I played the beta, and it was a solid experience on the beta, but it's superior on PC.
I totally agree.
I really did enjoy the beta, though. As soon as I can get some more scratch together, I'm gonna have to check out Battlefield 3. But if you haven't played them and you've only played Modern Warfare, be prepared for the fact that it's a very,
very,
very
different. Yeah.
The Battlefield series pushes it pushes more towards realism. So tactics, cover, camouflage, and your height, like, you know, make sure you take advantage of all of this and your movement, because you're much more mobile in this version.
Yeah, I would agree. It's
and use and help your squad mates out, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's definitely more of a team-based game than Modern Warfare.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a lot more lone wolf.
Looks like, well, we're...
Yeah, man, this time flew by crazy.
Yeah, that was a fast hour.
Well, you know what? You know what, Caleb?
Hmm.
Congrats to you, good sir, on our first episode.
Congrats to you as well.
Thank you, and I hope you all out there enjoyed our show. And you know what? If you want to get more... Tell them where they can find us, Caleb.
Well, if you came in late and you want more, we can give you more, lots and lots more, over at robotsattack.me.
And if you want to email us, which we encourage that you do.
Please do.
Email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
Now, if that's not quite your bag, you're into that whole Twitter thing, you can find us at robotsattackshow.
And finally, for all you Facebook people out there, which, you know, it's integrated into everything.
There's
so
quite a few of them, too. It's 750 billion, gazillion, million.
Yeah, trillion. Billion, thousand, billion, come on, Danny, Junius, too.
Ah, stop it.
but Facebook, like us on Facebook, Robots Attack. Leave us a comment. Tweet us. Just let us know what you like, what you didn't like. We're here.
We want to know.
We want to
know. We want to interact with you. So we will see you next week.
We'll see you next week, and have yourself a wonderful morning, evening, afternoon,
whenever
you get to us.
All right. Later.
Raccoon, Veronica, Mistel.